You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Stay Woke by Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey.
A couple weeks ago, Pastor Marcia on Wednesday night taught from this subtopic, Stay Woke. Stay woke, and I asked her to share her notes with me because I think I was away in prayer that night. I think I was in prayer, and so I asked her to share her notes with me, and she shared them with me. But it kind of stimulated something in me, that whole statement, stay woke. So we want to go back into that and kind of tag team tonight about that. Of course, how many of y'all heard that term before? Stay woke. Okay, and of course. If you can handle it, you can look at the Urban Dictionary definition. Sometimes the Urban Dictionary is a little too urban. Okay, some of the stuff. So I can't give the exact definition. I can paraphrase from the Urban Dictionary. But the Urban Dictionary, that phrase, stay woke, it says deriving from stay awake, it means to stay woke is to keep informed of the issues going on around you in times of turmoil and conflict. And I think that that's very applicable to us spiritually, that we need to stay, to keep informed on the issues going on around you in times of turmoil and conflict. So we must stay woke because there's a real devil, y'all. Yep. And, you know, I think one of the greatest deceptions of the devil is to make people think he doesn't exist. Okay. To think that the devil, the enemy, that evil does not exist. You have people who, they don't believe in demonic activity. They don't believe in the devil, but they believe in God. And they believe in angels or the good. But see, the problem with that is if you believe that anything supernatural or quote unquote mysterious you can't understand is attributed to God, that means that, and you don't think that there's a real devil, you will blame God and falsely accuse God for anything and everything that happens. For example, you ever hear people say stuff like, you know, the car spins around, goes off the road, and they say, you know, everything happens for a reason. People say that like that's some supernatural act of God, okay? And sometimes the reason could have been because you had bald ties. And it wasn't some deep and spiritual God trying to show you from that other than the fact that you shouldn't have bald ties. And so to stay woke in this context, we're saying we need to be aware of demonic activity. We need to be aware that there's a real devil who wants to take you out, who is opposed to God, who's opposed to everything that's good, who wants to derail your life, who wants to get you off of God's assignment for your life. One of the things that we heard just in the last couple of days, someone said something about one of the most strategic things the devil does is try to disconnect us from covenant relationships. Okay? And he'll do it through offense. Yeah. People just get mad. I ain't never going to that church anymore. And never thought about the fact that God connected you to that church. And God connected you to that man. And God connected you to that woman. And you upset because of something that happened in the parking lot. You look at your neighbor and say, you better stay woke.
Right. You know, and people think it's about the church. But ultimately, it's about your purpose.
Purpose and your life.
And your life. And so they get caught up thinking, well, I'm upset. And I'm going to hurt these people who go to the church, but you are hurting yourself. Because if God sent you here, it's connected to your purpose. It's connected to your destiny. And there's something you need to receive. So you have to stay woke. Say, I'm about the big picture. These individuals on the left side of church are insignificant to my future.
And that was she didn't really mean literally the left side of church. But right. She's talking about, these... Y'all understand what she means?
Y'all understand, right?
Okay. Because some of you, they think...
That's true.
They'll be so thinking, true. Don't get on the left side.
Right.
Pastor Marshall said, leave those folks on the left side.
Go all the way to the...
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
That's the music side. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world." Everybody say unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Now, first of all, I want to say, it says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies," or as a traditional King James, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." It didn't say we're not fighting. And it didn't say we're not wrestling. It says the people, what we're fighting and wrestling against is not natural. So you are always in a spiritual fight. You need to recognize that. Okay, I've said this over the years. You either just got out of a fight, either in a fight, or you're on your way to a fight. So you need to stay woke. Okay, because there is a real devil, a real enemy who wants to fight against us, get us off God's plans for our lives, to cause us to be deterred, cause us to lose focus, cause us to slip back, cause us to get offended and off from God's plan and his assignment for our lives. Drop down to verse 18. And so it says, "Pray in the spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." You know, I at the end of my notes here, I kind of summarize what you got to do to stay woke. I think you talk about it, but right here is telling us, okay, if you're going to stay woke, you need to have a prayer life. As a result of you having a prayer life, it will heighten and increase your spiritual sensitivity to what's going on. My daughter Kendra called. Hope she don't mind me sharing this, but she called us. She called us Sunday night, as she generally does, somewhere between 11 and midnight. And she always calls us like 11 to midnight, and then they ask us, "What are y'all doing? What do you think that folks in the 50s do at 11 and 12 o'clock? Probably going either sleep or about to go to sleep." But anyway, she called and she said, "Dad, I was walking," and she, you know, she lives in Harlem. She said, "I was walking down the street, and I saw this group of young people." She said, "Probably around my age, in the, you know, early or mid 20s. She said, "There was a group of them." She said, I was just walking down the street." She said, "And I got so grieved." She said, "This spirit of heaviness just came over me." She said, "So I went," she said, "and immediately the Lord told me what it was." She said, "I went back to these kids, this group of young people, and said, excuse me, did y'all just lose a friend? And if so, can I pray with you?" And one of them said, "Yeah." I said, "That's what we're talking about. That he had a friend who just gotten killed or shot or something." And Kendra said, "Can I pray with y'all?" And she said, one of the girls was like, "We don't know who you are. We don't know what kind of spirit you're trying to bring up in here, you know, New York, when real New York happens. We don't know what kind of spirit you're trying to bring up in here." She said, "Fine." She said, "I get that." She said, "I tell you what, why don't y'all just join hands? I won't even join hands with you. I'll just pray for you." And she prayed for them. And then she said, at the end of it, she said, the Lord had her to tell them, you know, by the way, you know, vengeance and retaliation, that's God's issue. That's not your issue. And she said, the Lord was just showing her what was going on here. And God said, man, that's wow, man. That's this crazy, man. Because I was just saying, we about to take care of this tonight. Okay. That's spiritual insight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's being woke to what's going on in the heavenly realms. And you never know who God's going to use you to minister to. But can I tell you, that starts with you having a prayer life. One of the things that a prayer life does is gets you used to knowing how God talks, how God deals with you, how God speaks. It heightens your spiritual awareness to spiritual things. That scripture said, so because we wrestle against evil and authorities in the unseen world. Everybody say unseen world. I say this all the time. There's an invisible world. There's an invisible world. There's a seen world. And there's an unseen world. And so because of that, it's real important that you have a prayer life. That's what causes you to stay alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Bible said here, specifically talk about praying in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Because when you pray in the spirit, I know, and can I say this, y'all? And I'm going to be very, very clear about this. Okay. And you know, we don't preach against other people and all that kind of stuff. But can I tell you this? There is a difference between people who pray in the spirit and people who don't pray in the spirit. Okay. Every church is not the same. Okay. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, it causes you to have heightened sensitivity beyond the natural. Okay. And this is, and they're very popular places, and people running here and running there, and they'll have some people, they got all the trimmings of a spirit filled church, and they ain't no more spirit filled than Bewitch is or I Dream a Genie. Okay, now I still went back. Both of those went back to the 60s. Who else? Okay. And so it's important for those of us who are spirit-filled that we embrace the spirit-filled life.
Yeah, and that means praying in the spirit every day. Every day. Because that connects you to the realm of the spirit. And that connects you to that unseen realm. And if you want to have insight and you want to have clarity and you want to have understanding and an awareness of what God's trying to tell you about your life, about your day, about your surroundings, other than focusing on your senses, you got to go to something, do something that is not really connected to your natural senses, which is praying in tongues. So when you release your prayer language, it opens you up to the realm of the spirit, and it empowers you to walk by the spirit and to discern things by the spirit of the Lord.
Now let's talk a little bit more about that, since we kind of struck a nerve there about praying the Holy Ghost. And some of y'all don't come to corporate prayer because you ain't trying to do all that. Okay. You don't regularly pray in the spirit at home. Now you need to understand, I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 16. Some of you heard me tell a story. I was trying to get filled for the last three years. And they told me that I hadn't given up everything yet. And they said to make us think we had all these conditions to meet to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they used to say stuff like God doesn't dwell in an unclean temple. So you got to clean yourself up and clean yourself out. You got to sacrifice all and give all. I was 16. The only thing I owned was my bike. Okay. And I remember being at noon Bible study and I would cry out. I said, Lord, I don't know what I got to give you. All I got is my bike. And you can have my bike, Jesus. I'll just give you my bike. And everything. I mean, I was sincere. I was trying to give God everything I had. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost in noonday prayer. It was a deacon, another elder there who used to be there for noonday prayer. I rode my bike, probably had to ride my bike about two, three miles to get to noonday prayer. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the age of 16, and prayed in tongues probably for about 2 hours. Okay, I'm just going to assume it was around 12 o'clock prayer started. I probably got filled around 12:30 and I prayed and I just stayed there praying in the Holy Ghost till at least 2 o'clock. Well, you know, prayer's supposed to be over at 1 o'clock. So they a little upset. I got finished late. Okay. So I got filled with the Holy Ghost praying in the spirit, but we were not in an environment we understood about praying in the Holy Ghost, watch this, deliberately, intentionally, and on purpose, which all mean the same thing, right? Okay. In other words, by an act of your will. By an act of your will. So in traditional Pentecostal circles, we only prayed in tongues when something hit us. So a service got high. Ikabashata. Eba. Yeah. Oh, kebababa. Hey, kebabamasata. That's the only time we prayed in tongues, you know. Service get hot. Hey, kashata rabaka. Hey, shama. And that was just about it. And I'll never forget. Somebody came one time who was part of Full Gospel Businessmen. Brother and Sister Philip, you all know about them. Full Gospel Businessmen. And this guy came and taught. And he said, you should be praying in the Holy Ghost all day, every day. Every day. Why? We had never heard that. Mother Bailey hadn't heard that either. And it wasn't nothing. For once we had somebody say something, the next service, Mother Baby gets, he said, "Now you can't listen to everything everybody say. Now you just can't be praying in the Holy Ghost. Something got to come over you." Well, you need to understand, I got filled with the Holy Ghost that day, and something had come over me, and he was in me. And June said, "You have an unction,
right,
from the Holy One. When you get filled with Holy, you have that unction." All right. Now, while we're talking, this is good. So go over to First Corinthians, 14th chapter. I want y'all to see what. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, verse 2. Because if you're going to stay alert and stay woke, you need to regularly pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue." Now, I can't show you this on the screen there, but if you have your, that's why it's sometimes good to have a paper Bible. Because when you're a paper Bible, the word "unknown" there is an italicis. Okay, those of you been here right direction for a long time, what does italicis mean? It's added by the translators. It's added by the translators to ideally give us clearer, more understanding. And I always say, read it with it and read it without it. So it says, "He that speaketh in a italicis unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." But when you take it out, it says, "He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh unto men." The reason why I think it's even clearer if it says a tongue is because we're saying it's unknown to man. It's not unknown to God.
Right.
It's unknown on earth. It's not unknown in the unseen spiritual world. Y'all with me here? So when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm not speaking to men. Who am I talking to? So people say that they have to speak in tongues. I don't understand what they're saying. Well, I just told you, I ain't talking to you. Mind your business. You hear people say, "Well, I don't understand what they're saying. I'm not talking to you." All right? That'll be like me getting on the elevator, and I see a Hispanic couple there, and they're speaking in Spanish, and I'm on the elevator. I say, "Excuse me, I don't understand what y'all saying." And they have every right to say to me what? "I'm not talking to you." So when we speak in an unknown tongue or in a tongue, we're not talking to man. We're talking to God. "But no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit realm, he's speaking mysteries." The Greek word is mysterion. It means, and that word mysteries means divine secrets. So when I pray in tongues, I'm speaking divine secrets. I'm speaking God's perfect will in my life. We're going to show you this in a couple other scriptures. Okay, you want to add anything while I'm adding it? Okay. Drop down to verse 14. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," what's praying? My spirit is praying, not my mind. My spirit is praying. So if I don't have enough money to pay my rent, I got $500. I've already tithed. Okay. Give my offering. I got $500, but my rent is $800. So I pray, "Father, I ask you, Lord, for $300. I need $300. Okay. That's my mind praying. I know what I need. I can add, I can subtract. So that's my mind praying. But when I pray about that, God, I don't know, but God, now my spirit's praying. Now my mind, I don't understand what I'm saying, but my spirit knows not what I'm saying. And watch this, angels know what I'm saying. And surely God knows what I'm saying. So if I pray in unknown tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my net is unfruitful, it's not productive. So verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray. The reason why this is scripture is so important. Everybody say, "I will." When it says "I will," that means it's by an act of your will. Not when something comes over me.
Yeah.
Not just when the service is high. Okay. Not just when the organ is going. But I will, by an act of my will, I will pray in the spirit. That's in tongues. And I will pray with the understanding. For those of us who speak English, that's your That's English. You speak Spanish, your native language. That's Spanish. I will pray. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. So it's by an act of your will. Are y'all with me here? All right. Back up to 1 Corinthians. The second chapter. This is also a reference to praying in the spirit. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect doesn't mean having it all together. It means spiritually mature. All right. Now, there is a time when, and by the way, there is a time when you probably should not be speaking in tongues and nobody else understanding around here. And you're looking crazy. Everybody, but you need to understand, this is our church. Everybody, this is our church. This is a spirit-filled church. All right. So when people come in here to this spirit-filled church and you've been here to Bible study and this is the order of our house, they're the strange ones, not us.
That's good, man.
Now, if you going off, I said, you going off in tongues, they don't want you going off in tongues, then you out of order. But if the order is here, when we come in corporate prayer, and by the way, we have a strategy to this. The first 15 minutes of our corporate prayer, we make confessions. In the first 15 minutes, we pray in the spirit. Because most folks, if they come in the first time visiting and all that, they probably going to get here a little later. Okay? So I deliberately tell them, pray in spirit in the first 15 minutes. Okay? That's when I know you real spiritual folks, y'all going to be here. Cause y'all going to be here on time. Because y'all spiritual. Mm-hmm. So we're praying in the spirit the first 15 minutes, and then we're making confessions without understanding the second 15 minutes. It's how it should go here. All right? And what did I tell you to go to? So 1 Corinthians 2 chapter verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect means mature or having understanding in this regard. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He that prayeth in unknown tongue speaketh mysteries. He's talking about praying in the spirit. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So I know it's good. When I pray in tongues, I know it's good. It's something that's going to promote me. It's something that's going to advance me. It's something that's going to accelerate me. He said, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it. Okay, he's talking about secret code here. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, now this next part, these next scriptures here is not funeral scriptures. Most time we hear preachers preach these scriptures and quote them during the funeral scriptures. I have not seen, not yet heard, yet that into the heart of man the things was God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay, but watch this. He's talking about when we pray in the spirit. When we pray in the spirit, we're speaking things that eyes have not seen, that ears haven't heard, that man hasn't even thought about in the natural. Okay? The things that God has prepared for them that love him. What do you want to show up there? Verse 7 in Amplified said, rather, we are setting forth in wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. All right? Verse 10. But God is the thing that eyes have not seen, ears haven't heard, neither into the heart of man. Verse 10. But God has what? Revealed them unto us. By his spirit, revealed them what? Them things that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, that have into the heart of man. Remember, I did a series. I can't remember what I call the series, but I was dealing with the visible and the invisible. So there are things that exist that you don't see. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're speaking those things, you're claiming those things, and we're going to even see you're even downloading those things. Yeah. Okay, God has revealed them to us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us. Here we go, verse 13 again. Which things also we speak. not in words which man's wisdom teaches.
The term stay woke has become popular to mean stay aware of what's happening around you. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey explains why believers must stay woke, because there's always spiritual warfare happening in the realm of the spirit. There is a real devil, and you must know how to defeat him. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Stay Woke.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.